Welcome again to our time together this morning. We're actually commencing a new series in the book of Luke. It follows on from previous 2 years, and you'll find all the Luke sermons on our website, which is being redone a little bit at the present time, but you'll find them under the resources on the top bar, and you can listen through. But this year we'll be in Luke 12 through to 15, and these are wonderful passages from the text. But I must confess that compared with the Psalms that we've been preaching over the last 5 or 6 weeks, this is a very jolting passage of Scripture. Jesus is actually saying some really tough things here, and it is meant to make us sit upright and listen, I believe. And there's reasons for that in the book of Luke. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He has set his face to go. This is his last journey. So there's a sense of urgency about the journey as Jesus is going home to the Father through crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. This is his last journey. He's choosing to say things quite urgently because he's going home. End times are in focus. Judgment is in focus. The enthronement of Jesus is in focus. Moreover, fierce opponents have begun to gather. Jesus faces increasing opposition. There are lies being told. In fact, in 11:53-54, the two verses just before our passage, he is opposed fiercely, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law are besieging him with questions. They're just trying to trap him. So the disciples are vulnerable. Jesus wants to clearly say to them, you need to make a choice. Believe me, follow me, or be deceived by these opponents. It's urgent now that you decide whose side you're on. The lines are being drawn. Thousands of people have gathered. They're trampling on each other. It's like a moment in the life of Jesus. It's time to weigh up choices and make them. A crisis is coming. That's the sense, I think, of Luke 12. I had this imagination as I was preparing. Imagine you've gone bushwalking in the mountains with friends. It's a beautiful day, soft breezes, packed lunch, expectation of good conversation, relaxing exercise, God's world. Everything seems relaxed. But then a snake strikes, one of you is bitten, one of the group needs immediate medical attention. Decisions have to be made now. Words need to be clear now. There is no time to panic and no time to delay. Right choices need to be made now. That's the sense of Luke 12, I believe. The teachings are stark and confronting. They are meant to jolt us into action. So this morning, I might say to us before we open up Luke 12, what do you need to take care of right now? What urgent choices are you facing? Perhaps God wants us to deal with some things today. We live in quite a passive society, and sometimes we just sort of drift along and nothing much changes. Well, Luke 12 would say there is a time to make big choices, and perhaps that time is now. Well, here's the first choice that Luke 12 would encourage us to take. You need to choose, Jesus says to his disciples, to speak true words. It's urgent that our words are true. In days to come, Jesus says, harmful, hypocritical, whispered words, delicious little gossip or perhaps malicious lies will be heard for what they truly were. Jesus names the Pharisees, many of whom were his enemies and were spreading malicious lies about him, as those who speak secretly, destructively, who sow harmful words. Words are like yeast, Jesus says. They penetrate, they influence, they're often unnoticed, they change things with hidden power. And days are coming, Jesus says, when words that were whispered will be proclaimed loud for all to hear, when deceitful words will be unmasked, when what's been said in the dark will be proclaimed in the light, when what's been whispered in inner rooms will be publicly announced. So 12:1, be on your guard, Jesus says. We are accountable for our words. It's easy to speak carelessly, to spread a juicy piece of gossip. It's delicious to know something tantalizing and pass it on. It makes me feel powerful, perhaps, to construct a story about someone that's not entirely true. We can ruin a reputation with carefully chosen words. And as for outright lies and malicious self-serving words, Jesus says we are accountable. And what I say is particularly important when I'm under pressure, when I'm being opposed, perhaps ridiculed, perhaps persecuted, perhaps in court on trial. Someone once helpfully reminded me at a time when I was under a lot of pressure that even good people behave badly and say bad things when they're under significant pressure. Angry words, self-preserving words, straight up lies can come easily when we're threatened or pressured or accused. We're accountable for our words. So make a choice, Jesus says. Be on guard what you listen to and determined to speak truthfully. That's number one. But number two, Jesus says in verses 4 through 7, do not fear the persecutor. Jesus says, and this is a pretty tough couple of verses here. He says, look, the only person you need to fear is God, because God is the final judge who has the say, who pronounces the word about your eternal destiny, heaven or hell, life or death. And then Jesus says, but friend of God, you actually don't need to fear God at all, because this awesome judge has become this one who will care about you, who knows everything about you, who numbers the hairs on your head. You are so precious to God, don't be frightened of God at all. These seem strange words to me in our comfortable context. But don't forget, Jesus and the disciples are on the road to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, and these disciples will face persecution and death in days to come. Our relatively comfortable experience of Christian faith in this country, well, it is a minority experience for Christians around the world, isn't it? It's estimated that as many as 160,000 Christians a year die for their faith. There were many more martyrs in the 20th century than in the previous 19. The testimony of the saints under pressure, the courageous, faithful words of Christians who give account, who acknowledge Jesus at the cost of persecution and death, well, these really are quite wonderful, and we need to hear them and support sisters and brothers around the world who face persecution for speaking Jesus' name in faith. Let me tell you one well-known account of a faithful martyr in the second century in AD 155. I was saying previously that at Winmalee this morning we celebrated Peg's 88th birthday. Well, this man was 86 when he was put to death for Christ. If you've heard the story before, it's a wonderful one. It's the story of Polycarp, the Bishop of Smyrna, which today is the city of Izmir on the west coast of Turkey. Polycarp was part of a generation of church leaders which succeeded the apostles, and tradition has it that he may well have been taught by the Apostle John and appointed to his office by the apostles. He's one generation removed from Jesus and the apostles. The Roman proconsul tries to persuade Polycarp to give up his faith. Respect your age, he says to the 86-year-old man. Swear by the divine power of Caesar. Change your mind. Say, away with the atheists. Take the oath and I'll let you go. Curse Christ. Well, the famous response of Polycarp was this. 86 years I have served him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul, I have wild animals. I'll throw you to them unless you change your mind. And again, scorn the wild beasts and I'll have you burned alive if you don't change your mind. Polycarp's response, very much in keeping with Luke 12, you threaten with fire that burns for a short time and is soon quenched. You don't know about the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment that awaits the wicked, but why are you waiting? Come and do what you will. Polycarp was executed for his faith in Christ, and those words, 86 years I have served him, he never did me any wrong, how can I blaspheme my king, have echoed through history. Do not fear the persecutor, Jesus says to the church. And thirdly, in verses 8 to 12, we have this lovely reciprocal acknowledgement of humanity in verses 8 and 9, where Jesus says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Jesus is the Son of Man. This is one of his most favored names. He is the human. A Son of Man means the suffering human, the genuine human, the exalted human who fulfills the prophecies of Daniel. Jesus is the human. And Jesus says, if you will acknowledge me as the one, then I will acknowledge you before angels. If you name me, I will name you. If you own my name, I will own your name in the court of heaven. There's a lovely reciprocal covenant loyalty here, human to human, Jesus to disciples, and then Jesus to the angels and the face of God. 12:10, Jesus says, if you do speak a word against me, you can be forgiven. For disciples such as Peter, who denies Jesus at the time of his arrest and trial, this is good news, an opportunity to turn back and receive forgiveness. But then in 12 verses 10 and 11 and 12, Jesus says something quite striking about the Holy Spirit. He gives both a promise and a dire warning about the work of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the promise in 12:12. Jesus says, when you are on trial, faced with lies and accusations, imprisonment and death, when you don't know what to say and your courage is failing, when pressure is at its greatest, your life is at threat, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. That's quite a wonderful promise in verse 12. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And those words in Luke 12:12 reminded me of Paul's words about the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:26. In 8:26, Paul writes, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Here are two extremes of life. One is public harassment, trial, lying, accusation, potentially death. The other is the very personal and private moment when you are grieving or feeling so burdened and weak that you've got no words to express it in prayer to God. On both occasions, the private and the public, the being threatened and the being overwhelmed, on both occasions, the Spirit is our helper, giving us words in public and wordless groans in private. This is God's very intimate presence through the Spirit with us. But we must also take to heart the dire warning of 12:10. Jesus says, "Anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." These words have been much debated down through history, commentators and traditions alike. I don't think it's mysterious what Jesus is saying. I think he's saying this. The Spirit of God is God's personal presence. The Spirit of God is God's saving power. And when the Spirit of God comes, if you willfully reject and refuse God's presence in the Spirit, if even you call that holy presence evil, if you name God's precious saving Spirit as evil, and you reject and refuse God's Spirit, then there is no forgiveness. That seems in keeping with what Jesus says when this saying is found in Matthew 12 and Mark 3. And one commentator makes this point: exposure to Jesus, hearing about Jesus, this commentator says, and even church attendance, they are not the same thing as receiving the testimony of the Spirit and embracing the hope of the gospel and giving one's life to Christ as the Spirit beckons. This is the ultimate choice that Jesus puts between the disciples and the crowds on that day. When God comes and calls you, receive his saving grace. Turn to Christ in the power of the Spirit, because if you turn away from the Spirit and refuse and reject and even insult the Spirit of grace, there is no forgiveness. One commentator says that Luke 12 is a standing rebuke of all casual, half-hearted and relaxed Christianity. The warnings about dangerous foes, the promise that God knows and cares about the smallest details of our lives, combine to challenge us to dedicated, single-minded discipleship. So let me finish today by saying there is a sense of urgency in the light of Luke 12. We know Christ will return, or we will go to be with the Lord and stand before God's judgment. We don't know when that will happen, but we do know it will happen. We live between the first and final comings of Jesus. And we live at times under real pressure. Not perhaps the pressure of being arrested and thrown into prison, but pressure in schoolrooms for young disciples of Jesus, pressure in work environments for faithful witnesses of Jesus, pressure in our own homes from family members who don't believe in Jesus as we do. Pressure in families can be very difficult. Where are the points of pressure for you today? What do you need to decide that looks like a tough choice, where you need to speak true words or rediscover courage? Or trust God for something that's really hard. Or acknowledge Jesus in a difficult context. Or confront an injustice or stand up for truth. Or perhaps put aside hypocrisy and stop gossiping and using words carelessly and destructively. What have we got to decide to clean up today? That's a challenge to any who are listening to Luke 12. And let me finish also with the final moment of choice in the book of Luke. On the cross, you remember the story in Luke 23? Only Luke tells this story. There are two guilty humans crucified either side of Jesus, one on the left and one on the right. They're equally as far away from Jesus within voice range. They are in the last moments of their life. And one of them chooses to hurl insults at Jesus, to join alongside this malicious, besieging, hurling insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah?" he calls out. "Save yourself and us." No repentance, no remorse. But the other one, he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." That is the ultimate choice. Just because we attend a church and hear a sermon doesn't bring us necessarily to personal trust, to spirit-filled repentance, to saving forgiveness in Christ. So in prayer just now, let's bring before the Lord some of those thoughts as we finish. Father, if there's a choice we need to make today, if there's a situation we need to find courage in, or a true word we need to speak, if we need to put aside something hypocritical or false, then may we make a strong choice today. And if there's anyone among us today listening to Luke 12 who hasn't yet received the Spirit of Christ, who hasn't yet responded to your call, who doesn't know the freedom of your forgiveness, then may that person make a strong choice today to receive your love as that man on the cross next to Jesus did, and to hear Jesus' words, "Truly I tell you, today you are with me. I am with you. You name me and I name you before the angels in the court of heaven." So Father, may we be at peace with you today, and may we be courageous, truth-telling, trusting, when under trial, witnesses of Christ in our time and place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.